And in other news, some vitally important word on deadlines. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, announced today that it has extended its deadline for applying for disaster aid to February 15th. The registration period was scheduled to close today. The deadline for applying for disaster relief from the U.S. Small Business Administration was also extended to February 15th. The deadline for signing up for the state's free debris removal program was also extended to February 15th. The mandatory right of entry forms must be dropped off either at the Disaster Recovery Center in Paradise or Chico, or the Right of Entry Center on Mira Loma Drive in Oroville. County spokeswoman Casey Hatcher said signups have lagged for several reasons, including some residents not understanding the program, others being outside of the area, and others still processing both emotional and property losses. Another critical deadline, shuttering the Red Cross-operated evacuee shelter at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico, was also scheduled for today. County social workers have been desperately looking for accommodations for those remaining. Today, Red Cross officials announced that the lease on the fairgrounds was extended to March 15th and downplayed the significance of today's deadline. Red Cross spokesman Stephen Walsh.
It's a target date, essentially. So what we're doing is we're meeting with all the clients that are here, the caseworkers are, to see if they have a plan. And the guarantee is when they leave, they have a plan, a recovery plan, whether that's a place to live, you know, that kind of thing. Whatever their needs are, we want to make sure their needs are met.
Walsh said the fairgrounds has offered to lease parking spaces without hookups to trailer owners at a rate of $40 a day. That works out to $1,200 a month. It's unclear how many will be staying put and under exactly what conditions. Those staying at the shelter have been required to meet with caseworkers at least every 2 days. It's clear progress has been made. There were many fewer people on hand than a week ago. The dozens of trailers filling a large open field has dwindled to barely a handful in the final hours before the supposed closure. Among those remaining ahead of a looming deadline, uncertainty remained with few good options.
There's an apartment, the studio apartment up in Medford, Oregon. Yeah, that's the kind of the options we've been getting.
But you're supposed to be getting me hooked up with the tour shelter so I can stay over there for a while.
Frankly, to answer your question, I don't know where the heck I'm going, you know, at this point. But there's no places here in this town. No hotel rooms. And I don't know anybody down here. So, and the house has just been completely burned up. So I don't know. I have a tent. I can use that.
Lost all my clothing on the transfer down here. And they never found it. And they never compensated me for it. All new clothing I had just got. I just lost everything in the fire, and then they lose everything I went and got after that.
American Red Cross, we couldn't have made it without them. They're the best people in the whole world. They fed us, took care of us, did everything they were supposed to do. Thank God for them. I really appreciate it.
The voices of evacuees Scott Johnson, Bobby Weir, and Danny Gerke. Weir's warm feelings aren't universal, though. Some residents spoke of overly aggressive security, while others praised checkpoints and other tactics used to keep the peace and weed out troublemakers. Others described punitive punishments and the permanent ejection of evacuees over minor infractions. One claimed Red Cross workers were stealing from victims. Evacuees also said they were prohibited from interacting with protesters who demonstrated against the planned closure in recent days. A second demonstration was scheduled for earlier this afternoon. Anna Goodnight, who lost her Paradise home, said by and large, evacuees haven't been treated with respect and in some cases face hostility. A note to sensitive listeners, the following minute of audio contains graphic descriptions some may find disturbing.
People are still walking around dazed and confused, especially ones that seen dead bodies in cars that were burnt. Tell me that doesn't give you an effect. The smell, the flesh, the smell to flesh, never leave my mind. And all we're trying to do is live the best we can. And then they put us down, and then you get more depression. We're all suffering PTSD, and it's gotten worse. Only if they would do their job right and talk to us like we're not I told him the animals get treated better than we do. I want the politicians to come here and try to live through one day of what we go through.
Seated next to her, Goodnight's sister said security was overzealous beyond reason.
Her neighbor is named Marka. Marka's husband is on oxygen. The company came to give him some oxygen, and security wouldn't let him in. She was threatening to call the cops on security, saying, "My husband needs his oxygen. You need to let them in." They wouldn't let him in.
He's dying.
Other people's relatives are trying to come in to console them, like I'm doing here. They won't let him in. They physically won't let him in.